Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Romans chapter 3, and verse 23 is my main text. I'll go over some other verses, but Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and the title of the message is The Truth About Sin. The Truth About Sin. Now, you know, so often today, people who claim to be Christian and claim to believe and to preach or to witness the gospel try to reduce the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel and evangelism to easy formulas, quick formulas, repeating certain verses of Scripture, repeating what they call the sinner's prayer. And many times that has a negative effect. And what I mean by that, and I'm not just trying to be critical, but what happens is that people really come to a misunderstanding of what salvation is, what it's all about, what it involves, and what the Bible teaches. You can repeat certain verses, like my text today is Romans 3:23. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." A very simple verse, very easy to remember. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And many times people will hear that verse, and the next verse that they'll probably talk about is in the book of Romans 2, Romans 6:23, which says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And certainly those are great verses of Scripture, beautiful verses, true verses, and or verses that relate to truth. But when people reduce the gospel and evangelism to these specific formulas and these just repeat after me and pray this prayer, it fosters, I believe, an easy believism. In other words, a profession of faith in Christ, a profession of Christianity, without true heart, mind, and soul conviction, and without a real understanding of what this book, the Bible, and salvation, and the gospel is all about. And one of the greatest and most misunderstood truths that's revealed in the Word of God is the truth about sin. That's the subject today. We say this verse, or we repeat this verse, "For all have sinned." Now that's a given. The Bible teaches that all of us are sinners. All have sinned. And how does that translate to your understanding? That's the question I want to deal with today. For example, what is the remedy for sin? We talk about salvation. What are we to be saved from? The Bible says we're to be saved from sin. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 21, we see a verse of Scripture in which an angel of the Lord communicated to Joseph about his wife Mary concerning the child that she would have. And it says in Matthew 1:21, "His name shall be called Jesus." Now the name Jesus means salvation. "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Well, what is the problem of what is this sin problem? What does it involve? And many people, when they think about sin, they think about great and gross acts of immorality, We are shocked at much of what's going on in our day in acts of immorality, thoughts of immorality, in murders and thieves and abuse, child abuse, wife abuse, all of these things, homosexuality. These are all sins that I'm thankful that they still shock our sensitivities, our consciences, because it shows that we do have some sense of right and wrong. But how are we to understand the reality and truth of sin as it relates in the Bible? You see, this is what this issue of salvation by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. The fact that we need to be saved from our sins. When the angel said unto Joseph, he said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What he's showing there is the reality of sin because of who it took and what it took to save me or to save anybody from their sins. This is a person. Salvation is in a person. Salvation from sin is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this person? What kind of person did he have to be in order to save me from my sins? Well, he had to be both God and man, perfect man in one person. That's the incarnation of Christ. God manifest in the flesh. Over right after Matthew 1:21, when he talks about his name shall be called Jesus, salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. In Matthew 1:23, it goes on to say, his name shall be called Emmanuel. It's a prophecy from the Old Testament, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Now, the fact that it took an act of Almighty God in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God in human flesh, to save me from my sins, tells me something about the reality of sin, the truth of sin, and how I'm to think about sin. And let me show you what I'm talking about here back in Romans chapter 3. Now, he says in verse 23, as I've stated, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word sinned there is the most common word in the New Testament used for sin. And what does it mean? Well, listen to what it means. It means to miss the mark. That's what it means. Now, when we think of sin, if we're going to think about the truth of it, the reality of it, and what it is to be saved from it, we've got to think in those terms. Yes, we can think of the gross acts of immorality and be appalled at them and say that's a sinful act. But if our thinking goes no further than the grossest, most commonly committed acts of immorality in society, the perverseness of society, the sexual sins, the immoral sins, if our thinking goes no further than that, then we have not seen the reality of what sin really is. That's the truth. You see, sin in the Bible is missing the mark. In fact, if you would do a study of all the words, for example, that give us an idea of the reality of sin, you might be amazed. As I said, this right here in Romans 3:23 is the most common word used for sin, which means to miss the mark. It means to fall short. That's what he says there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? Well, in the Bible, the glory of God is seen and found in the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was His work? It says in verse 23 again, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then look at verse 24 of Romans 3. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The glory of God is found in the glorious person and the finished work of redemption of Jesus Christ to save His people from their sins. That's where it's seen. And what was Christ doing when he redeemed his people? He was, as their surety and substitute, satisfying the justice of God against them as he took their place. That's what it is to be their surety. Their sins, the debt of their sins, were imputed to him. And in taking their place and dying for their sins, satisfying the justice of God, he brought forth righteousness by his obedience unto death that enables God to be both a just God and a Savior, a righteous judge and a loving, merciful Father. Now, that's called the righteousness of God. And you might recall back in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God there is the entire merit, work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience unto death as the surety and substitute of his people, to redeem them from their sins, to pay the price of his blood is the price of redemption. And in doing so, he brought forth righteousness. Now, the righteousness that Christ worked out in his obedience unto death is the standard by which we know we fall short. So here's what I'm saying. Here's how you to view sin and look at sin. Think about sin in the Bible. It's not just the acts of immorality that men and women commit. Yes, those are sin now. And yes, we're to stay away from them. We're to fight them. We're to repent of them. But sin must be defined in light of the glory of God, in the fact that we all of us without exception, the worst of us, obviously, but also the best of us, the most sincere, most dedicated, most religious, even those who try to be the most obedient, at our best, we fall short. We miss the mark. And here's the point. If we're to understand the reality and truth of sin and the fact that we all fall short, we are all have sinned, is that it is impossible for any of us to work out by our best efforts the righteousness that God requires for us to be saved. Proof of that, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If I could work out a righteousness that hit the mark, then I wouldn't need Christ. I wouldn't need grace. And what did he say? Being justified. What is it to be justified? It's to be not guilty. It's to be righteous in God's sight. Well, how does that come? He says being justified freely. Now, that means without a cause. In other words, if I am justified from sin, if I'm justified before God, there was nothing in me or done by me that caused that to happen. It's freely. It's unconditionally. Well, how did God do it? He says, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. It is totally, completely, 100% a free gift from God. I didn't earn it and I didn't deserve it. And I still don't earn it. I've been a true believer, a Christian, for over 30 years, been preaching the gospel for over 30 years. I still don't earn it, and I still don't deserve it. It's still all of grace. But how can God be God? How can he remain just and holy and give me this redemption, this free gift, and still be just in doing so? He must be. Well, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's all on the basis and ground of what Christ accomplished in his obedience unto death to save his people from their sins. Now, as I said before, this word for sin here, for all has sinned in the past tense, which literally means all having sinned, is the most common word in the New Testament for sin, which means to miss the mark. There are other words. You'll see the word, for example, the word transgression. Sin is transgression of the law, John said in 1 John 3. To transgress means to break the law. We're all lawbreakers. You say, well, I'm trying to keep the law. Well, that's okay. But my friend, your trying to keep the law will not save you. Your trying to keep the law will not pay for your past, present, or future sins. Your trying to keep the law will not make you righteous before God. You still fall short. I still fall short. I'm not just pointing the finger at you. When I talk about you fall short, I'm saying I fall short too. All have sinned. So think about your best efforts to keep the law. On your best day, you still fall short. You still transgress the law of God. Another word for sin is trespass. You've seen the word trespass. And that means to cross the line. You go into a piece of property and you might see a sign that says no trespassing. That means you can go no further legally. Adam, when he fell in the garden, what did he do? He missed the mark. He broke the law. He crossed the line. God said to Adam, he said in Genesis chapter 2, in the day, he says, you can eat of all the trees of this garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Adam broke the law. Well, when Adam sinned, I sinned. You sinned. Because Adam represented, before God, the whole human family. So he trespassed. You'll see another word in the scripture, iniquity. Iniquity means things don't balance out. It comes from the word equal, inequity. And it means no matter what you do, you cannot balance the scales of God's justice. What you do will not equal righteousness. What I do will not equal righteousness, even at our best. Now, that's how we're to think about sin in the Bible. That's why he says back up here in Romans chapter 3. Now, listen to this. Here the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, was showing how both Jew and Gentile were sinners. That if God were to give any of us, Jew or Gentile, what we've earned and what we deserve, it would be eternal damnation. And he says that the Scripture has proven that both Jew and Gentile, that they're all under sin. That means they all miss the mark. And look at verse 10. Listen to this. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, that's not just talking about some segment of society that is criminal or perverted or immoral openly among men. That's talking about all of us by nature. You may have heard me say this before on this program. Don't read the Bible with the accept me syndrome. Don't look at that verse and say, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, except me. No, my friend, based on my best efforts to keep the law of God, based on my best efforts to love everybody, based on my best efforts to be as charitable and as giving and as kind as I can be, I am not righteous before God. Not based on that. Now, I can say without embarrassment that I am righteous before God, but not in myself. I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, we read, it says, for he, that is God the Father, made him, that is God the Son incarnate, Jesus Christ, salvation, made him to be sin, who knew no sin, talking about Christ, for us, for his people, for God's elect, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. You see, before God, I'm justified. God does not hold me guilty because He laid that guilt upon Christ. You see, in God, before God, I'm righteous. God declares me righteous legally because Christ stands as my surety and my substitute. And so when He says there's none righteous, no, not one, what He's talking about is what we are by nature. How we are on our own before God. How we are as we're naturally born. But you see, when God saves us, He brings us to an understanding of the truth of sin, that I have no righteousness of my own. The only way that I can find righteousness and be righteous before God is by virtue of the merits of the redemptive work of Christ, His blood, His righteousness imputed to me. In verse 11, he says this of Romans 3. Now, this is for the understanding of the truth of sin. He says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. The things that I'm telling you on the gospel, those don't come naturally to us. We don't know these things are natural. All we think and know is what Cain, you remember Cain of old? He brought his works unto God, thinking that they would somehow atone for his sins and make him righteous. Well, we don't understand the reality of sin and of righteousness apart from God showing us in His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, there's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now that shows us something more about the reality of sin. The reality of sin is this. There are none of us who by nature are righteous before God. We're all sin. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. We're born that way. Somebody said, well, we're not that way until we make our first choice to sin. Let me tell you something. Has there ever been anybody in the history of mankind who didn't make the choice to sin? Why is that? It's because we're born in sin. We're born spiritually dead. So we don't have righteousness. Secondly, we cannot work one by our best efforts to obey the law. And thirdly, we do not want righteousness God's way. We want it our own way, like Cain of old, salvation by works. We want salvation, but not God's way. Because, you see, God's way does not give us any room to brag. It doesn't give us any glory. God's way gives Christ all the glory. And so, in order to be saved, what do we need? In order to be saved from sin, we need, number one, redemption by the blood. We need a righteousness established for us by a person who is appointed of God, who is qualified and able, and who is willing. And there's only one person in this whole universe who is appointed of God, who is able to bring forth righteousness, and who's willing to do it, and that's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way of forgiveness. There's no other way of righteousness before God. Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to be literally, in a spiritual way, raised from the dead. We need to be born again by the Spirit. Now, that's the fruit and the result of Christ's redemptive work on the cross. We must be born again. By nature, we're spiritually dead. By nature, we have a conscience, but it's defiled by legalism. It's defiled by guilt. You see, we have to be given spiritual ears to hear the things that I'm telling you. Do you believe them? Are they real? Is this a conviction? If it is, it's not me who convicted you. It's the Holy Spirit. We need to be given eyes to see. The Scripture talks about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember what it said here in Romans 3:23? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, God, in the new birth by the Holy Spirit, who comes from Christ to impart life, spiritual life, He gives us spiritual eyes to see things that we didn't see. We didn't see their reality. We didn't see their value. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That Christ alone is my only way of forgiveness, my only way of salvation, my only way of righteousness. I'm justified before God through Christ and His work on the cross, His blood, His righteousness, and there's no other way. My works and my efforts had nothing to do with that. You see, the obedience of a believer doesn't save him. The obedience of a believer doesn't justify him. The obedience of a believer does not sanctify him or make him holy. The obedience of a believer does not contribute one degree or iota to the righteousness that he stands before God in. The obedience of a believer is the fruit, the effect, the results of what Christ did. It's the workmanship. God says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You see, salvation is by grace. And why does it need to be by grace? Because we're sinners. We come short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. At my best, I miss, even as a Christian, I miss the mark. What does that tell me? It tells me that even as a Christian right now, today, I still need Jesus Christ as my salvation, as my righteousness, just as much as I ever needed Him. As I grow in grace and in knowledge, that doesn't mean I need Him less. In fact, one of the biggest parts of growth in grace and knowledge is seeing that I need Him even more now than I ever did. Well, I hope this message has helped you, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.